Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Whether I met you on the Curcio weekend or 10 days ago in Michigan at the Second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, or somewhere else that I've been out speaking, thank you for listening. Regardless of how you listen, do be sure that you're subscribing to this show so you get every episode automatically every week. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps, and there are links there to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. We're up to episode 40 now. How are you liking the show? What am I doing that you like? What am I doing that you wish I would stop doing? What aren't I doing that you think that I should add? Send me your comments through the website, or you can post these types of thoughts and engage with other listeners and even post prayer requests in the show's Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that too on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Please help me spread the word about the show. I would be most grateful if you would tell others about it as I continue trying to get the word out and bring more listeners to CSR. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And I do encourage you to go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of great testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, we just had All Saints Day, and it made me pause to recognize yet another similarity to sports as it relates to our faith. Too many times fans are guilty of immortalizing their sports heroes. They read everything they can about them. They have trading cards bearing that player's picture and career highlights. Youngsters will gaze longingly at these figures and say, "I want to be just like you." In the Catholic faith, we know that many men and women have been immortalized as saints, including the canonization of the five newest, as witnessed and talked about by last week's guest. These are people that we should be reading about. These are people we should have holy cards of. These are individuals that people of all ages should be inspired by because they wanted to live just like Jesus. They put Christ, not sports, at the center of their lives. Back on episode 14 of this show, Sister Rita Claire Yochis reminded us, all saints have a past and all sinners have a future. I've said it before, we are called to holiness. Let All Saints Day be an inspiration to that. And now to get to the heart of episode 40, today I am joined by a current member of the Charlotte Independents, which plays in the USL Championship, the largest pro soccer league in North America. He had played collegiately at Belmont Abbey, a Catholic school in North Carolina. He loves the game of soccer, but he is on fire for his faith, having become Catholic approximately 15 months ago. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Clay Dimmick.
Hey, Bruce. Hey, everyone. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
No doubt. Thanks for making time for this. Looking forward to talking to you.
Thank you. You as well.
Clay, as the listeners just heard, this probably is not the traditional experience they might expect to hear from a Catholic Sports Radio guest. In fact, your story even begins as having been adopted.
Yeah, that's right. So I was adopted from birth to a family, an awesome family in Atlanta, Georgia. I was born in Texas to two birth parents who were too young at the time, but praise God, they made the right decision and gave me up to adoption to wonderful parents.
And you were what age when they adopted you?
When I was adopted, I was 2 weeks old. I was in an incubator. I was born prematurely, so my parents came to the hospital to pick me up themselves.
Wow. Wow. And your adopted parents, they were not Catholic?
Yes. So my adopted mom, she was never Catholic, and my adopted dad, he was Catholic, but he left the faith. So growing up, I never really was introduced to the faith.
And so since you didn't grow up Catholic, what was your knowledge or maybe your view of the Catholic Church during your years as a child and even into your teen years?
Right. So growing up, I had some families around me who were Catholic, but for the most part, they were just going through the motions. And so I could see in my father as well that nobody really took this the faith seriously around me. So I kind of had a view that the faith was somewhat boring or people just going through the motions. So yeah, I wasn't blessed enough to have people around me during that time that really showed me what the faith is all about.
But were you even exposed to it to where you went to a mass and said, yeah, this is boring, listen to these hymns and listen to that guy up there, and boy, this isn't anything for me?
No, never. Never really went to a mass. I heard a couple of hymns, but that's the extent of it.
Well, so then as you got ready to look at colleges, how did you choose a Division II Catholic college, especially when a few Division I schools had offered you a scholarship?
Yeah, it's funny to think about now. Back then when I was in high school, obviously I was playing club soccer, traveling the Southeast with my club team. And my first scholarship offer came from Stetson, which is a Division I school down in D-Land, Florida. And I was getting ready to commit there my junior year. And then the coaching staff had changed completely, so I didn't really feel comfortable going there to a new coach who knew nothing about me. Meanwhile, this whole time I had been getting recruited heavily by Belmont Abbey College and the coach, John Keating. And so I had stayed in contact with him and could tell he was a really good guy. And when I was up for a couple of Southeast games in North Carolina, UNC Asheville, and a couple other Division I schools around here, I went on a visit to High Point as well. We're at my game along with Coach Keating. And so on my way back to Atlanta, my parents and I, we just figured, oh, we'll drive through the campus. Saw how beautiful the campus was, how beautiful the church was, and kind of left it at that. And then just throughout the recruiting process, I could tell how honest of a coach Coach Keating was compared to other coaches nowadays. They really only care about winning and how you perform. But I could tell there was more to him and more to the program. So I just really felt at home there and felt like I could grow as a person and as a player.
Wow. Well, playing at Belmont Abbey, you earned all-conference recognition and were a two-year team captain. Yet instead of the on-field accomplishments, you would rather talk about the relationships that you built with your teammates and your coaches.
Yeah. On the field, I did have a lot of success, so I'm really thankful for that. Otherwise, I don't know if I'd be in the career that I have now with professional soccer. But what really sticks out to me and what I'm really, really thankful for from my time at Belmont Abbey is the relationships I had with my teammates, who are some lifelong friends, and some of the greatest times were with them. And most importantly, my coach, Coach Keating, and the relationship we had, and him becoming a mentor and role model for myself.
Outstanding. So let's start to get a little bit into your conversion story then. Tell the listeners about the revelation that you made to Coach Keating and his family on the way back from a fishing trip. Tell them what I'm referring to here.
Okay, so as I became a junior and senior in college, I had to begin to hang out with Coach Keating and his family a bit more, and him and I developed a good relationship, and I spent more time with his family, going to mass with them and just seeing how awesome the Catholic faith could be. So one of these moments, we were going fishing and we were driving back to their house from going fishing, and their youngest, Savannah, they have four kids, and their youngest is a girl, Savannah. She asked me, "Hey, Clay, why don't you become Catholic?" And I never spoke about it to anyone before, and my response kind of shocked them when I said, "Oh, you know what? I'm actually thinking about it."
Well, you said a minute ago, I started spending time with the coach and his family and going to mass with them, etc. But again, thinking of that background that you just described for us, where as a youngster, you didn't have the Catholic faith and you kind of thought it was probably boring and you picked a Catholic college anyways. What happened that you all of a sudden were going to mass with the coach and his family?
Yeah, so I was going to Methodist church around my college when I was in college. And I always had a personal relationship with the Lord, but I always wanted something more. So I began to go on Sundays to mass with my coach and his family. And the one thing that kept intriguing me is how reverent and how quiet and how peaceful it was during mass. And I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea why everyone was kneeling, but I did know that there was peace in there. And so that's what was really comforting and kept bringing me back.
Wow. Nice. Nice. Well, listeners, I am going to ask Clay about his experience going through RCIA and to borrow a term from an hour away from me over at Disney, the fast pass that he got to confirmation. But first, if you listen to this show regularly, thank you. And you likely know that, as I alluded to at the start of this episode, I was just a speaker at the second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Maybe you saw the photos I was posting on social media from that. Anyhow, let that be a reminder that you too can bring me in as a speaker for your event, whether that's a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, where my faith and sports background are a fit. Look for the Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on CatholicSportsRadio.net to start that conversation. And then also on the website, I mentioned earlier about the Facebook group being one way you can let me know what you think of the show. Well, if you do like what I'm doing, if you are tuning in regularly to Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in this radio ministry, if you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you're getting some type of value, some benefit from it, and want to help out, I would appreciate your support. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself, including doing all the producing, hosting, editing of this show every week, as well as the administrative, promotional work, and so on, which means that all the expenses come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And by the way, I'm happy to give you a shout-out for doing so, either on social media or even on the show, if you wish. Or, of course, it can remain anonymous. And also, as I've learned from other podcasters whose shows are listener-supported, for those of you that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@catholicsportsradio.net, and I will get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on catholicsportsradio.net. Pray about it. See if this ministry might be somewhere that God is moving you to tithe. So, Clay, you've just revealed to little Savannah and Coach Keating and his family that you've been thinking and praying about becoming Catholic. So now it's time to get it done. Take the story from there.
Awesome. So that night when we got back from fishing, now that the cow's out of the box that I've been thinking about becoming Catholic, Coach Keating and myself, we had been in the living room at his house. We were talking, and I finally just asked, hey, Coach, what's the difference between you guys who are Catholic and myself, who kind of just bounces around Methodist church, Presbyterian churches, wherever I could go on a Sunday that doesn't really have a denomination? And so he simply started out by saying, well, probably the first one I would talk about is the Eucharist in the Catholic Church. So from there, I was kind of skeptical. I was like, really? So Jesus is in your church. Well, why is he not in ours? And we began to talk more and more, and he gave a really sensible and really easy example for me to follow. He said, well, if we believe as Christians that God can come in any form, Jesus can come in any form, and you see a squirrel out there, do you think Jesus could be a squirrel if he really wanted to? I was like, yeah, he can do anything. He's an all-powerful God. He said, well, what's stopping us from saying he's in the host on Sundays at Mass? And so from there, I was like, yeah, I mean, you're right. So I was definitely interested more. I was asking a few more questions, and then he gave me a Scott Hahn CD called The Fourth Cup. And I was driving back to Atlanta to go visit my parents the next day, and I popped in the CD on my drive home and just started listening to Scott Hahn talk. And Scott Hahn is a convert himself to the faith, so I could relate to him a lot when he began to tell his story. So I was tuned in from minute one. And when Scott Hahn began to talk about the Eucharist, which kind of captured my attention last night talking with Coach, I was shocked when he began using biblical references and scripture to prove that Jesus is truly in the Eucharist. Jesus is truly at Mass. When you go to adoration, Jesus is there. Body, blood, soul, divinity. He's there in the Eucharist. So when Scott Hahn was talking about in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, when Jesus is telling his disciples, do this in memory of me, and he repeats himself three times, Scott Hahn said something that really, really moved me when he said, do you think Jesus would say this three times and not really mean it? What do you think when Jesus repeats himself three times, he wants you to listen? And I had to pull over when I heard that and began taking notes and was just in awe of everything.
Wow.
Yeah, and so So then I called Coach Keating and was like, Coach, I've never heard something so true, and this is what I've been searching for, something more. Like, I'm in. I want this. I want to join the church. I don't want to miss out on another chance to receive Jesus. And so the next week I went back up to Coach's house and we began to talk more. And now the time was Holy Week. And so we were doing family missions at the parish, St. Michael's in Gastonia. And we came across Father Bittner and Father Christian, who were the two priests at our parish at the time. And Coach Keating introduced myself and told him my story, and told him we had been talking a lot about the faith, and I was on fire for the church, and I really just wanted to be confirmed and have my first Holy Communion, become a member of the church. But I also knew that that Sunday people were already finished with their months of RCIA classes and they were being confirmed. And I told my coach, Coach, I don't want to have to wait another year. Like, I want it now. I want to join the church now. So he said, okay, well, they're not going to hold you off from joining the church. So thankfully, Father Bittner and Father Christian were amazing, and they were so welcoming. And they said, well, I mean, all of our RCIA classes are online in podcast form. And I have the books that our students that are going through RCIA classes, they read. And so do you want to do it now? And I said, yeah, of course. So I began listening to all the RCIA classes, and I read Father Bittner's book on the Mass, which was amazing, just to understand that it's the most beautiful prayer that we could ever pray, the fullness of the faith. And then I also read a novel called Philadelphia Catholic in King James Court, which is a young boy who has to defend his Catholic faith to his uncle, who is a biblical pastor somewhere in Kentucky or somewhere down south. And so that taught me a lot as well, and then continued to have amazing conversations with Coach Keating and his family and beautiful wife Toni. So yeah, I was fast-tracked in that sense and began taking all the classes, and then began time to do my first confession. And the most beautiful part is we were trying to pick a day, and we were going to pick Pentecost, but Father Bittner and Father Christian were in Rome at the time. So they said, well, why don't we do it on Corpus Christi? And I think it was Coach Keating's idea, and Coach Keating said, well, I mean, the Eucharist is what attracted Clay to the faith, and Corpus Christi obviously is all about the Eucharist. So just to see God even have his hand in that was amazing. And now here I am 15 months after becoming Catholic, and on fire for the church, and just feeling really blessed.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that story. And, you know, there's wonderful testimony there in the fact that when you decided to put in that CD and listen to it, obviously the Holy Spirit was at work there, because somebody can put in a CD like that and someone can say, yeah, I think I'm interested. But, you know, you really have to, in your heart and in your mind, be willing to receive that, to let it move within you, to let the Holy Spirit work within you. And that's what you did. And so it's a wonderful story. I wonder, now that you have become Catholic and are on fire for the faith, how have you carried that with you into your soccer life?
Right. So, yeah, it's definitely challenging. This walk isn't easy, and that's something Coach Keating told me when I got confirmed. He was my sponsor as well, so I still go to him for a lot of questions, sometimes maybe too many or too personal ones, so I give him a hard time about that. But no, he did tell me that it doesn't get easier from here. You kind of have a target on your back now, and being in a professional locker room and professional environment around the team, it does challenge my faith, challenges what I believe, and I'm thankful for that because it helps my faith grow. Or I've had some pro-life talks with some of the guys, and it helps me grow in that sense as well, to be bold with my faith and to stand up for what I know is true and what I know is right. So it's definitely challenging, but I'm thankful for the challenge because it helps me grow.
Beautiful, beautiful. And you even have a reference to a scripture passage on your Twitter profile.
Yeah, I do. Romans 8:28, and it says, then all things, God works for the good of all those that love him. And so I try to remember that in all the times, and especially in the career that I'm in, sometimes things don't go your way. And even in life, things don't go your way, but we serve a God who is good all the time, and his plans always are good for us. So it's something to remember day by day for myself.
Amen. Amen. And congratulations, by the way. I know you just signed a new contract to stay in Charlotte for 2020.
Yes. Thank you so much.
So it's great that you're still so hungry for Jesus well over a year after your confirmation, but how can you keep that fire burning so that it never dims?
Yeah, so one thing that I've been trying to do is get involved in ways that get me outside of myself, because when I'm trying to just do things myself, it doesn't really kind of light my soul on fire like it does when I help others. So some of the stuff I've been doing is getting involved with the youth at St. Michael's. I'm starting that in November, so I'm really excited for that. And then also just continuing to go to confession and continuing to have time with the Lord in adoration, and just making Mass a priority, even in the week when I have the time to spend time with Him.
Well, and I imagine that, you know, because you are in the public eye, you're a pro soccer player, when you're signing autographs, when you're posing for pictures with kids, that's the time to pat them on the head, say, God bless you, and some few words, that something that simple may minister to them, it might move them, and it's just one more way that you could be working for Jesus while you're working for the Charlotte Independents.
Exactly, yeah, doing God's work. One of the little things that I try to do is when I sign an autograph, just draw a little cross, a little crucifix, and see if somebody notices one day.
Ah, I like it. I like it. And tell the listeners about your girlfriend and where she is these days, faith-wise.
Oh, yeah, so I have a girlfriend here in Charlotte, and when we started dating, I did tell her that, like, the most important thing to me is the Catholic faith and my relationship with the Lord, and she had known that before she knew me, so she was really interested, and now she's going to get started with RCIA classes, and so we've had some really good conversations, so it's been awesome to see how the Lord is moving in her heart as well.
Beautiful, beautiful, and it's just amazing how much of your story continued to mention your coach, which, listeners, don't forget, this is his college coach. Okay, this isn't his current coach with the Charlotte Independents. So you see what an influential role a coach can have in someone's life, not just their sporting career. So hats off to Coach Keating for obviously the work that he did with you as a soccer player, but more so in your personal life. It's obviously someone that you're going to cherish and continue to be in contact with for many years to come.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I always give him a hard time and say, you're my best friend for life. You're stuck. So I give him a hard time a lot. But yeah, I'm very thankful for him and his family especially.
Well, Clay, God bless you. And again, congratulations on the new contract. And thanks for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. And thanks to all the listeners for listening. God bless everyone.
And listeners, as you know, we always like to close with a prayer. So with us having a professional soccer player on the line today, we will close with an athlete's prayer, one that I haven't done for quite a while. So let's do that together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I thank you, O God, for giving me a body which is fit and strong, and for making me able to use it well. In my training, help me never to shrink the discipline which I know that I need and that I ought to accept. In my leisure and in my pleasure, help me never to allow myself any indulgence which would make me less fit than I ought to be. When I compete with others, help me, win or lose, to play fair. When I win, keep me from boasting. When I lose, keep me from making excuses. Keep me from being conceited when I succeed and from being sulky when I fail. And help me always with goodwill congratulate a better man who beat me. Help me so to live that I will always have a healthy body and a healthy mind. This I ask for your love's sake. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I am Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.